let me hear it.
Money.
Money Talks.
Your trusted resource for your money.
Your future.
Your life.
Kick it.
We're back. You're listening to Money Talks, your trusted resource for your money, your future, your life. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Nick Antonucci and Arun Gupta and Kelly Lynn Scalise.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've about endeavored to talk about this estate planning issue or probate issue, I guess.
It's and this was just a very interesting, you know, I mean, we don't have a lot of details on their situation, but Derek and Corey inherited their brother's estate. Unfortunately, the brother died with little to no estate planning. He's got cars, properties, investments, houseful stuff, businesses, you know, that sort of stuff. And basically, this man's entire life was just dumped on his brothers to deal with. And there's just a lot of stuff in the estate that they're like, we don't even know where to start. And so, like, Arun is here to tell us to some of the, like, what you can leave to people and what you really shouldn't leave to people.
Sure. Well, regardless of if it's a good thing or a bad thing, I think the most...
I mean, we all have to die. I mean, yes. It's fine. It's going to happen. Your stuff is going to be somebody's problem.
Whatever the things are, if you plan and you make it clear, first off, most importantly, within your actual legal documents, that is the start.
And even, so you're saying to make sure you have a will?
Well,
is that
yes.
What I'm getting here?
100%.
Have some plans.
make sure you have it. And not only do you have a will, and that's going to control certain assets, but there are assets that will be controlled outside of a will, such as retirement accounts, where life insurance policies, those are going to pass via whatever beneficiary designation that you set up when you set up those accounts.
So again, make sure the beneficiary is
correct
on all of your documents.
Just make sure that it's in line with your current wishes. You don't have to, you know, do it every single year, but at least every few years or when there is a change in life circumstance, those are always good times to check in with what your documents say. You know, when you leave something to people, in addition to having, you know, the legal documents in place, it's also a good idea to talk to them about it beforehand.
Surprise!
So they at least understand what it is that is going to happen. Now, you don't have to go through every single little detail with them. I mean, it would help, but you don't have to. Even writing something on your own, a little memo that you create that doesn't have legal significance, but at the very least, you're trying to communicate with people and giving them an idea of what it is that you want to have happen.
I'm going to go through the house and put post-it notes on all of my stuff, just who gets it.
This is the Kelly Lynn way.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it makes things much more clear. You know, I've had clients that, you know, they have their estate planning documents, and then they've scribbled notes and post-its, just like you said, over it. And it at least helps the person that's picking up the pieces to put it into plain English, to, like, let them know, hey, this is what they wanted to do.
So now what would be the absolute worst thing to all of a sudden find out that you're now, you inherited?
So there's lots of things that you, I don't want to say lots of things that you don't want, but things that are a much bigger headache than others. First one, a timeshare. This happens with me all the time.
Really?
Where a you know, they purchased a timeshare, God knows how long ago. They used it, and then it's just kind of been there. And, you know, it has to go to somebody, right? And usually...
I didn't know that those contracts, like, and can be passed down.
And the way they're set up, sometimes they're set up via an actual property deed. Sometimes it's just a contract with the company. It's messy. Even sifting through and trying to find out what your original agreement is work. It's hard to do that. With clients that are trying to plan right now and a timeshare comes up, they have to sift through things to even understand what it is that they own. So,
and this is coming from a lawyer.
Yeah.
No, I hate timeshares. I cannot stand timeshares in any way.
So if you have a timeshare, give it to your worst enemy.
Well, if you have a timeshare, talk to your kids about it. And if they don't want it, get rid of it before you die so they don't have to deal with it. That is something that
If
you can.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, because you pick up the phone and you call a timeshare company. You could be transferred many, many times. You're sitting on hold. You're told one thing. They are notorious for making it hard to get out of something.
It might even be a good call for don't buy a timeshare.
Well, yeah, that's another story too. You know, personally, I know just from dealing with them, this is never something that I'm going to remotely consider for me.
Yeah.
But you know, they offer benefit. I'm sure that at some point in someone's life, it was worth it. Hopefully,
sure.
It was.
Yeah.
But you know, talk to your kids beforehand. If they don't want it, get rid of it before it happens. Because when they inherit it, and then they don't want it, they have to disclaim the asset, which is a formal legal document that says, I don't want this. And then it goes to the next people in line, which may be their kids or somebody, on and on. It's a mess. And you could theoretically just not do anything. And then the timeshare company is going to call you. They're going to send you notices, which most of the time they know that it's not going to end up going anywhere. But when you get a legal document that says you maybe on the hook for this, it's going to make your heart skip a beat. It's going to be harder to sleep at night. All of these things are to be considered when you're dealing with the timeshare.
So in the case of that, when you consider, let's say the timeshare is paid for up front, but there's ongoing annual dues.
There,
I mean, why would you just let that go to the wayside though? Because is there not some value embedded in when you've paid up front for?
Yes and no.
Depends.
I think a lot of the time people don't want these timeshares. That's another thing. People just don't want them. And you know, you could theoretically, you know, before you die, try and sell your interest in your timeshare. Probably not going to net you at least what you paid for it, but if you get something for it and you don't really use it, I'm like, just do it. And oftentimes, I mean, you can exit out of the programs. I have been dealing with a timeshare company where I'm waiting for the certified exit program documents for months and months and months.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's, you know, you hear the stories that you're trying to get out of a gym membership. It's hard. Try getting out of a timeshare. It is a miserable experience. And I say this just because it is probably the most common, I don't want to have to deal with this asset that happens for kids that have to pick up the pieces.
Gotcha.
That is an asset that is not fun to deal with.
One other thing I see on this list, an operating business.
Yes.
And Nick is a exit planner. I can only imagine what it's like when a widow or a relative inherits this random share.
Yes.
Yeah. And like we've certainly been involved in the valuation of those, but it's oftentimes from our perspective, it's we provide a value, but we're not involved in the legal side of structuring how, you know, is it...
It's unbelievably emotional.
Absolutely. Is it sold to existing owners only, the right of first refusal, things like that?
Yep. And especially, you know, if you don't have those in place, it just makes things more difficult. So if you have something in place that says, okay, you know, when I die, either, you know, this asset is going to be left to this person, and you should probably let them know that that is something that's going to happen. But if not, there are provisions that you can, you know, say the other members of the company can buy it out. Whatever it is, having some sort of plan in place is important. Now, let's say you don't have it and you didn't have a will and your estate is distributed to your heirs at law. If you've got a wife and three kids, well, then each of them is going to inherit part of it. And if you don't have anything in place for your business exit, then you're going to have people that have inherited a share of something they may have no clue about at all. And then they're thrust into things. And sometimes they are...
That's the way the state designates it, though, right?
That's if you don't have a will, then yes. Then if you've got a spouse and kids, a spouse inherits minimum one third, and then the kids will split everything else.
Right. I think that's an important conversation just among business partners, right?
Yes.
One of you may have documents in place, but you need to, you know, be on top of your co-owners and ensure that they also have a similar plan.
Yes,
and all of a sudden they have new partners.
When we draft operating agreements for LLCs or bylaws, we want to make sure that death of a member, what happens? That you at least think about it. And if you don't have anything specific in place, at least you've said it goes to my estate. And then, you know, your other people want to purchase it from the estate. That's something that they can do. But it should at least be mentioned. I mean, those businesses, timeshares, and it all depends on the business. Again, if you've got a plan, that's not necessarily a bad asset that you want to that you would get. Something like a gun collection. You have to have, and I'm not a gun expert here, but you know, you have to have your registrations. You know, and when you someone else inherits it and they don't have that.
I was going to say, like, if it's unregistered, or like, what if it's like one of those like Civil War collectibles? That's, like, what do you do with
that? And that's where it gets tricky, because technically, you know, if you're in possession of something that's not registered, you know, I don't want to say you're necessarily on the hook, but you have to deal with it in some way.
And it needs to be legal as well.
And it needs to be legal. I mean, you can, obviously, through your estate planning documents, you can, one, before you leave it to someone, make sure it's registered. It's going to help a lot. Yeah. If you don't, your people are going to have to pick up the pieces, and different states have different laws. I think New York says that you have to have it registered within 15 days or hand it over to
the authorities, the police.
Basically. So again, deal with it beforehand is the key when it comes.
So it's important to not only, you know, have the will to ensure that your assets go to where you want them, but it's also equally important to make those who are going to get the assets aware of what's to come. Don't leave them in the dark.
100%
agree with you.
You
know, be mindful that this is going to be an overwhelming task for them as well. And any kind of preparation will be beneficial to them in dealing with your estate.
And that's the value. You know, when a client pays for estate planning, they're not really paying for all the complicated legal provisions. And what they're paying for is peace of mind.
Right.
Knowing that not only is what they've worked for going to where they want it to go, but the people that have to pick up the pieces have less work to do.
Right.
That it's clear. It's the transition is easy.
Sounds to me like you should probably... think about it as if you're giving something to a teenage kid at Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. They love cash. Mm-hmm. They like anything really liquid and easy to spend.
No, of course, you know, cash, best thing. Cash or an investment account with stocks that have that are going to highly appreciate.
Right.
You know, those are the things that you want, because there's clear values for them.
Right.
And cash, obviously, you do what you want with it.
Sure.
A stock, especially if you bought it 30 years ago and the value's way up. Well, now the person that's inherited it gets a step up in basis. So if you know they turn around and sell the stock, they inherit it at a higher basis, and they'll have less tax liability.
Sure.
Again, nice assets to have. Those are the good ones.
Wow.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and you know, when it comes, like you said at the beginning of this, if it's held in certain accounts, like an IRA, all you have to do is show the designation
a death certificate, and you let the custodian know, and if you're a beneficiary on that, it's basically a simple process. You will have an inherited IRA in your name.
And again, just make sure that your beneficiaries are
up to date.
All right. So businesses, vacations, timeshares, bad, cash,
good
accounts that have stocks and all that stuff.
And you know, another one just that I want to touch on is your stuff, your household goods, art, etc. If something's valuable and you know it's valuable, let that person know it's valuable, because they may just pick it up and sell it, get rid of it.
The garage
not thinking,
sale.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so if you've got an asset that is sentimental or valuable, make sure the person knows that it means something or
there
it's worth
go.
Something.
All right. Well, there you have it.
All right.
Arun on, I guess, the best way.
The best and the worst.
To hand down your estate. Yeah, no doubt. Well, Kelly Lynn, what do we got going
Coming up next, we're going to hit our question mailbag. I've got someone asking about our 10-year rule. So you're listening to Money Talks, your trusted resource for your money, your future, your life.
This has been a production of Hensler Money Talks.
Oh. All material presented is from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decision and is not intended to replace the advice of qualified professionals, such as tax consultants, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in the Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.